This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, March 11th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. CAF outlines progressive priorities. Drought Act returns. The latest on farm aid and Dems challenge global tariff. The Community Alliance with Family Farmers is urging California policymakers to prioritize land access, water equity, and climate resilience for small-scale producers in its 2026 policy platform. Representing around 8,000 of California's smallest and most vulnerable family-scale farmers, CAF said the priorities reflect concerns raised by hundreds of farmers during listening sessions across the state. Many growers reported rising costs, consolidation in farmland ownership, and climate extremes, making it harder to stay profitable. Among the top priorities is building, quote, a just agriculture economy that would involve directing Proposition 4 climate bond funding toward programs for urban agriculture, food hubs, and farmer cooperatives. The group is also advocating for a first-of-its-kind state land access program and a California Land Observatory to track farmland ownership trends. CAF is also pushing lawmakers to strengthen market opportunities for small farms, including paying farmers fair prices to supply food banks and expanding pathways to sell food to schools, hospitals, and other institutions. Further priorities include ensuring SGMA policies do not disproportionately burden family farmers and directing climate funds toward practices that cut emissions and improve biodiversity. CAF is urging farmers to write their lawmakers, asking them to invest $98 million in programs supporting small and underserved farmers, food hubs, and local food access. Representative Scott Peters of San Diego has introduced legislation aimed at expanding federal support for local water infrastructure projects in drought-stricken regions of the West. Known as the Drought Relief Obtained Using Government Help Today Act, or Drought Act, the proposal would raise the federal cost share cap for projects financed through the Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act. The proposal would raise the federal cost share cap for projects financed through the Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act program from 80% to 90% in areas experiencing extreme drought. Projects of regional significance are those serving disadvantaged communities. Several California Democrats joined Peters in introducing the measure, including Representatives John Garamendi, Jim Costa, Raul Ruiz, Juan Vargas, Mike Levin, and Nanette Berrigan. The proponents say raising the federal financing cap would help state and local governments advance large water recycling, storage, and conveyance projects as drought intensifies across the West. Peters pointed to the Pure Water Recycling Project in San Diego, expected to supply about half of the city's drinking water by 2035, as an example of the type of project that could benefit from expanding federal financing. In 2024, Peters and Senator Alex Padilla introduced a version of the Drought Act, but it did not advance. Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Bozeman is vowing to keep working with federal panel members to get more financial aid to struggling farmers. Bozeman acknowledged at a hearing yesterday on finding new ag markets. If you're putting something in the ground, you're probably losing money, Bozeman said in opening remarks at a hearing yesterday on domestic ag markets. Bozeman said his state of Arkansas, quote, now holds the unfortunate distinction of leading the nation in Chapter 12 farm bankruptcies. Senator John Hovind of North Dakota told AgriPulse that lawmakers are still looking at around $15 billion in additional aid on top of the $12 billion announced by the Trump administration in December. Hovind and Bozeman have suggested the figure could still change, especially as conflict in the Middle East threatens to worsen financial conditions for farmers. Hovind wants to pair an aid measure with a provision to allow year-round sales of higher blends of E15. Soaring oil prices due to the war with Iran make it a, quote, great moment to move forward with E15, saying Senator Amy Klobuchar, the panel's top-ranking Democrat. Klobuchar cited a University of Minnesota study showing that E15 saves drivers about 25 cents a gallon. For more on the aid package and the possibility of including it in a supplemental spending bill, check out our weekly newsletter today. A group of Senate Democrats will challenge President Donald Trump's 10% global tariff in legislation to be introduced today. The bill, led by Senators Tim Kaine of Virginia and Raphael Warnock of Georgia, would repeal the tariff and prevent any future president from levying tariffs for balance of payments reasons, that according to a copy seen by AgriPulse. The legislation has the backing of 8 Democratic co-sponsors, including Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and one independent. The bill is the second legal effort to scale back U.S. tariffs this week. On Monday, Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts introduced legislation to exempt small business from the tariffs. Unlike the resolutions challenging Trump's emergency tariffs, which could be fast-tracked to the floor, these bills would need to clear committee votes. They are therefore highly unlikely to come to the floor. U.S. producers are still grappling with high fertilizer costs and availability challenges, but competitors in international markets could be reeling even more. The United States has, quote, the most sophisticated nitrogen market in the world, Bloomberg Intelligence Alexis Maxwell said in a webinar yesterday. Domestic producers are capable of meeting between 75 and 90% of its urea, ammonia, and urea ammonium nitrate needs. Brazilian producers, meanwhile, could struggle to compete for fertilizers in the global market because of limited access to affordable credit. European Union is likely more dependent on imports, particularly from places like Egypt, where natural gas supplies are under threat, Maxwell said. U.S. UAN producers on the Gulf Coast can also pivot to urea production if high prices persist, Maxwell said, which would help bolster domestic supplies. That doesn't help farmers immediately, and in the short term, things look bleaker by the day, with vessels taking up to 45 days to move fertilizer from the Middle East to the U.S. Corn Belt. Anything not on the water already won't be available for the spring season. The U.S. is still short 2 million metric tons of fertilizer that would typically land by June, Maxwell said. Even if the war ended tomorrow, it would still take 2 to 3 days to restart the nitrogen plants that are down. You'd have to add in load time, compete for space to move through the Strait of Hormuz against oil, and that urea cargo is just likely not going to arrive in the U.S. in time for our March to April application season, Maxwell said. Here's today's final word. If these proposed regulations move forward, Californians should brace for higher costs across the board with no end in sight. That Lance Hastings, president and CEO of the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. CMTA is sounding the alarm over the California Air Resources Board's Cap and Invest proposal. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, March 11th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.